Hey, this is Mark in San Antonio, Texas. I love the Gospel Tangents podcast because it has some of the best and most diverse guests in the field of Mormon studies. They're people whose work I've read and enjoyed and that I would love to sit down and have a chat with. And the podcast lets me have that experience vicariously.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. The RLDS Church has historically claimed that Joseph Smith never practiced polygamy. We'll talk about their evolution on that topic, as well as current claims and what evidence from the RLDS Church there are that Joseph Smith did practice polygamy. We'll talk more about this with attorney Mark Tensmeyer, and you won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out.
And so the argument they have, there's a book that was written in 1900 that's the most comprehensive book on the RLDS part of it. Narrative. It's written by a man by the name of Willard Smith, who's not a relation to the Smith family, but it's the most comprehensive thing that I think. And what he argues is, and I think this is reflective of the other things, he just put it all together. He put it together where a lot of those have made the argument, is that Brigham Young starts polygamy. He marries these women. He and Heber C. Kimball and others marry these women in the Navajo temple. They seal these women to Joseph for eternity, themselves for time. And then later, to legitimize polygamy, they influence these women, or maybe these women want to do it just because they want to support it anyway, to say that they were married to Joseph while he was alive. So that's the argument they use. As time goes on and more contemporary evidence comes to light, there's things like the expositor. Joseph Smith III hardly ever mentions the expositor. And I don't think he really even knows the content of it.
He was just a young boy then, right?
He was. He talked in the Temple Lot case in his deposition. He was asked about the expositor. He remembered it being destroyed. He remembered hearing about it being destroyed. But he was asked, did you ever see any, did you ever see it? And he said, well, I saw a portion of it. I saw an excerpt from him a long time ago, but I hadn't actually seen it again until now. And I read a letter from I got a bunch of transcripts of his letters from the Community of Christ archives. And he said that he didn't think William Law really had or that William Law's statements were all, because he had heard about William Law's statements to the Salt Lake Tribune that were done in the 1880s. Mm-hmm. And he said he didn't think that William Law really had known anything or had said anything before that. I mean, so as time goes on, the apostle Paul Hansen from the RLDS Church in the 1920s really looked out for a lot of documents, and he found a lot of really great stuff that didn't come from Brighamites about Joseph Smith and polygamy. A lot of it was contemporary.
Oh.
And I love reading his letters because he says, I'm not really ready to say that Joseph Smith was a polygamist, but there's a lot of evidence here that I really don't know how to explain.
So he was the B.H. Roberts of the RLDS Church, huh?
He was private about it. I love his stuff, too. He said, we have it in here. He said, we don't need to go shout this from the rooftops, is one of the things he says. But if anybody asks us about it, we shouldn't. And he said, the other thing he says, we shouldn't be afraid of our own minds. We shouldn't be afraid to embrace the truth, if that's what the truth is. And so Joseph Smith, the third son, and there's Frederick M. Smith is the president of the RLDS Church, and then it's Israel A. Smith, who's president. I don't know when the years are. He was president for at least part of the 50s, 1950s. He really, really he has a spiritual experience where he really drives home that Joseph Smith was not a polygamist, that his grandfather was not. But he tries to adjust the narrative. He admits that there was a revelation on marriage that was probably about sealing.
Oh,
he does. But he thinks that this was something that was altered by Brigham Young to be what we know as Section 132. And so he says that, and then it's in the 1980s when this really comes to a head. Here's the president of the church at the time, Wallace B. Smith, asked the official church historian, Richard Howard.
Mm-hmm.
To write a paper that really gets to the bottom of this. And he does a pretty ingenious thing where he writes a paper on Joseph Smith's polygamy, and he only uses publicly available sources like the Expositor, like the article in the Nauvoo Neighbor that details Joseph and Hiram's reaction to the Expositor. And then he uses evidence that he collected from a lot of different places, evidence that came from people that were not Brighamites. So people like Sidney Rigdon, people like William Marks. And he makes the case from that, that Joseph Smith was a polygamist. And he puts all of this arguments in there. And in the end, the paper comes up with the conclusion that, we at least know Joseph did sealings for eternity. He may or may not have done polygamy. And so kind of reflecting the RLDS position. And a lot of his contemporaries were like, the body of your paper was great, but your conclusion just seemed off. And a lot of people suspected that maybe that was like an editorial mandate, because this was originally supposed to be published in more in official channels in the RLDS Church. And finally they said, well, just publish it in the John Whitmer journal.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so a lot of people suspected it was an editorial mandate. And Newell Brinkhurst wrote an article about that was in part of the Persistence of Polygamy series. And he interviewed Richard Howard. Richard Howard's still alive. He still has interviews and stuff here.
He's still alive, I think. He is.
Yeah, you ought to get him.
I knew. I do need to get him on.
And he confirmed that was true. That there was editorials about that. He had some editorial oversight from committees, and so it was a compromise. He has since gone on record and a lot of other things about Joseph Smith being a polygamist, and so that really, from that point on, what really. You know, when I read Paul Hansen's letters and I read that says that it completely destroys the myth that polygamy wasn't happening while Joseph Smith was alive. That the idea, I mean, Emma Smith tells Joseph Smith III asked his mother in that last interview, the famous last interview, was there anything like the polygamy revelation? She says, no, I didn't hear anything of that nature. Well, I mean, the Expositor explains the revelation pretty clearly.
Right.
Joseph and Hiram give a partial admission to it in the Nauvoo Neighbor, the article published there. So she's not forthcoming there about that. But I mean, you can see kind of why Joseph Smith III may have settled on that. Because the other thing is, if polygamy is not happening while Joseph's alive, then you can't really blame him with it. And you also can't blame him with being negligent and allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, So Paul Hansen's, his letters say it was clearly happening. It clearly was. And that's some of the things. And so from that point on, the RLDS Church as an institution drops the issue.
This is about 1980, you say?
Yeah, this is 1983. They drop the issue. They say, Wallace B. Smith adopts this thing where he says, he publicly says, I'm agnostic about it, but it's not an issue we're going to pursue. So they drop the issue there. It doesn't become their official position, and it still is not. What they'll say now is that they don't have official positions on historical issues.
Oh, really? Because I know President Stephen Veazey has talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As has.
And he's the current president.
Yeah. Oh, the church leadership will say it all the time. And
The president's not an official.
As did Grant McMurray. As did Grant McMurray. And there have been books that have come out that have been done by Herald House, which is their official publishing house that I've talked about. So, but it's still not the official position of the church. You got to understand the community of Christ. The Community of Christ gives a lot of leeway for diversity on that. They say we're open to people doing that. And I know several people, or at least acquainted with several people in the Community of Christ. Some of them very liberal members of the Community of Christ that believe that he wasn't a polygamist. I mean, it's still believed in the community. There's still Community of Christ people that have. And so that's where that's at. And but the reaction to that, that's the interesting thing. So soon after that is when Richard Price, he writes a full, he, it was a paid, advertisement. It was a full page thing in the local newspaper there in Independence, where he outlines his response to that. And so, you know, the Price is, Richard and Pamela Price have been working on it for a long time. And I was, whenever we talk about things like this, it gets, like I've kind of alluded to, we get into the thus versus them. I mean, I think the world of Richard and Pamela Price.
Well, let me just absolutely say this also. I've actually invited them on to my podcast, and well, they have refused. So
right,
I've also talked to Denver Snuffer, and I've talked to Jim Buchanan,
yeah,
who are both polygamy skeptics.
Right,
and
right.
So I do want to, for the record, say that, because I get this all the time. People say, oh, you don't give our side of the story. I have. I've done it.
Right, and, right. And I don't necessarily
won't come on. So
I don't necessarily like think that it speaks ill of a person to not want to give an interview or something. I mean, some people are private like that. I understand that. But I mean, Pamela Price was very generous to me in providing, you know, providing documentation about things. I mean, Richard and Pamela Price really did a lot to help give the restorationist movement some feet, give it some direction. And they're the ones that decided to continue the charge for this. And this becomes part of the much larger issue, much larger of the, for lack of a better term, liberalization of the RLDS Church. And so, you know, this is happening about the same, you know, it's 1983 that we had the paper come out from Richard Howard. It's 1984 that the revelation coming out, allowed giving women the priesthood, comes out.
Right.
And so, you know, coming up to this, that was the culmination of really decades of a culture war within the RLDS Church. And so about there's a split. I've heard estimates anywhere from about a fifth to about a third of the RLDS Church becomes disaffected. I mean, that's huge. Can you imagine that? Yeah. One out of every five, looking around your ward and finding one out of every five people
goes gone.
Yeah, gone. Yeah, wow. Who are faithful believers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this becomes part of the liberalization. And Richard and Pamela Price played a very big role in helping these people find some place to go. And have you ever been to a restoration and branch service? I know you've been to a few different ones.
I've been to a Temple Lot service. I've been to RLDS services. Been trying to go to Remnant, but that never works out for some reason.
Oh, so by our, yeah. So I've been to, there's a restoration branch in Dallas and I've been to it. I had a wonderful time here. It's great.
Oh, yeah. They're always really friendly.
Yeah. I mean, it really was great. And, you know, I can very easily see why people that go there would feel like the community of Christ, what's now known as the community of Christ, sort of left them out. I mean, that's a much bigger issue, not sort of thing. Bill Russell's writing a book about that.
Definitely have to get Bill Russell on. He's the best.
I am very much looking forward to that. But I say that to show that you know, the prices, I think we call that the restorationist movement.
Yeah.
I think that it.
And I have been to the Price's bookstore before, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, they played a big role in making all of that happen. And you know, I'm glad that that's there. That's a spiritual home for the thousands of people that it is. And so, I mean, I think it was, you know, so when I say, I think the world of Richard and Pamela Price. It's really easy to look at things like this and reduce a person's identity to just the one thing you disagree with them on. I'm not perfect about that, but I am really trying to be better about that. And so, but anyhow, I'm Richard and Pamela Price. Richard Price comes out with that article. He follows that up with the pamphlet called The Polygamy Conspiracies. And that, of course, is followed up by the articles and the vision that get collected into the books, Joseph Smith Fought Polygamy. And so the Prices agree that the narrative that had been told that far was not sufficient. They agree.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with attorney Mark Tensmeyer. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the Cochranites. Polygamy skeptics love to claim that the Cochranites introduced several apostles to polygamy, and it wasn't Joseph Smith. Is that a reasonable conclusion?
I mean, again, Agnes Colbreth is also in that same group that gets baptized, and she's actually from that area, and she actually becomes a plural wife of Joseph Smith. So if you're going to argue circumstantial evidence and exposure leads to this and that, then I think that's a much stronger connection than anything.
Joseph.
So So when it comes to the Cochranites, that's something I don't particularly find compelling.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.